AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday, Martin Luther King Day. Good to be with you today, Matt and Patrick here. Hi, Patrick. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing really great. Just got off a busy weekend of hockey production.
Where are you doing hockey production? Did you have any problems getting around on Saturday? Ugh.
Yeah, I think Saturday was kind of the most miserable of the days. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think. It was, yeah, Saturday, because then I had to get to St. Louis Park, and it was one of those days where the roads looked good, but they were not.
Oh, no, they were not. They, what had happened is on the overnight between Friday and Saturday, we were supposed to get 8 inches of snow. We only got about three, maybe four. And the reason why is we had a bunch of ice. It rained, and it froze in place. And it wasn't until I went to church on Sunday, Saturday night. By the way, one of the things I love about being Catholic, you do it what you want to do, but, you know, like me, Saturday night church is always nice. So I was able to get to 5 o'clock Mass. And I was driving, and I was like, this is really bad. And it was at that point I finally noticed MnDOT had gotten out the chemical cars, the trucks, and they were putting that down. But now it's gorgeous sunshine outside. So the roads are doing a lot better, as bad as it was on the weekend. And then we're looking at 40 degrees, 40 on Wednesday. That's nuts. That is nowhere near where we should be. And that is, and I don't get me wrong, I know Paul Gazelka and the rest of the climate change deniers are going to be, so what? It's a nice day. Oh, who's going to boo-hoo that? The reality is that is way out of line. We should not be anywhere near 40 degrees in Minnesota in January. We should not. But needless to say, that's something we can talk about in another day. Coming up a little bit later on, the Democrat of the day is going to be Senator Susan Kent. She will be kind enough to join us as she is the assistant minority leader. We're going to talk to her about her campaign. I always think it's tough when you're in a leadership position, but you're also a senator and you got to want to represent your district. And we'll talk to her about that and get information about her campaign. That comes up here in a little bit. It is Martin Luther King Day. And I've always amazed, you generally don't hear too many Democrats on Martin Luther King Day scream about how Martin Luther King would be on our side today. It would be like, but you always hear conservatives. I mean, you know, Kellyanne Conway this morning is, Martin Luther King would be against impeaching Trump. No, he wouldn't. Oh, please. You mean white supremacist junior over there? No, I'm pretty sure MLK would be on board with that. Or the gun guys out in Richmond, that gun pro gun, you know, guys, you know, I'm going to guess most of you are single. But, you know, the gun kook rally in Richmond, there was like, Martin Luther King would have been for this. No, I don't think he would. No, considering the gun violence in this country, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have been. No, I'm pretty sure he'd, you know, if you've ever read about the guy and understand what his main tent poles of what he believed were, no, he wouldn't be there. But you see, Martin Luther King today, one thing I can say about Martin Luther King, and I feel very positive about this, is that I think he'd be more outraged than ever about inequity. I mean, you listen to his speeches from the 1960s, and he talks about, and he goes into a community, and he talks about the inequity within the community, and it's just ungodly. It was, and predominantly with the African-American community. Well, I'm sorry, since that time, inequity has only gotten worse. I mean, the inequity is worse for African-American men. Take a look at the amount of African-American men and the unbelievable volume of prisons filled with African-American men and the lack of jobs and development in African-American communities, Latino communities, Native American communities. And even today, the inequity is getting worse and worse with poor whites in this country. And Martin Luther King would be, I think, outraged about how things have gone. There are a few stories that came out this weekend about, you know, a handful of people. One story said 26 people have more money than 3.5 billion people on the planet. 26 people have more money than 3.5. And what is it, 120-something have more than 4.8 billion people. And there's an interesting thing that came out, and I heard this, and I don't know if it's true, but I'm going to go with it because I think it is absolutely true, that if you took the wealth of every individual in this country and you stacked it as $100 bills and put it, and people then sat on top of their individual stack of $100 bills, half the world would be on the ground. Half the world would already be on the ground because they don't even have more than $100. The average middle-class American would be about chair height. I'm sitting in a chair right now. Patrick's sitting in a chair right now. That is, if you're a middle-class American, you got your stack of $100, that was pretty much where you would be at. Not everyone. Some people are doing better. Some people are doing worse. But that would be the average American sitting on their stack of $100 bills would be chair height. The wealthiest two people on the planet would be in space. Put that in perspective. Middle-class American, you're doing okay. You're supposed to be paying your bills. You're doing all right. You got a little retirement going, vacations, kids going to college. You're at chair height. The two wealthiest people on the planet are in space on their stack of hundreds. Inequity is god-awful. And the inequity just keeps getting worse because the wealthy have learned a little trick. And once again, the United States is such a key on the planet because we are a consumer nation. We are, unfortunately. Since they've gotten rid of our manufacturing base, the one thing that we do is basically buy crap and build up debt, which is another thing that we do in this country. But the wealthy people in this world have basically learned that they can convince a lot of white Americans to go along with them as long as they basically tolerate their intolerance. Okay, we'll give some validity to your racism. You want to give some validity to your bigotry. We'll give some validity to that. Fine. Then just don't mind as we pick your pocket and make your lives worse and worse and worse. And the thing which is crazy is that is indeed what it is. I mean, there was an article this weekend in the Star Tribune talking about farmers, and I'll get more to this a little bit later on in the show, talking about farmers and talking about, would you still support Trump? I mean, all Trump has done is taken away money from you. And now, granted, they talked to one of the larger, wealthier farming groups. But my God, farm debt is at basically record levels. Farm foreclosure rates is at a 10-year high. One-tenth of the dairy farms in Wisconsin just went under in 2019 alone. You have a massive amount of problems. And they're like, oh, I'm still with him. I think he's great. If a Democratic president was elected with the popular vote in rural America and his ag policy and trade policy had crippled rural America to the point which Trump has, even with a bailout, there wouldn't be a farmer in rural America voting with him. But these guys are brainwashed because you know what? They're hating of liberals. Or their anti-gay marriage stance is validated by the wealthy. Hey, you know what? Just, you know, we're going to not pay you any money. We're going to foreclose on your house. We're going to make your life miserable. But we'll tolerate your bigotry. And that's the trade-off they've made. And their lives are getting, the inequity is only growing in this country. You want to know what killed the American dream? Let me give you a larger picture here. What killed the American dream? Conservatives do this whole thing. It's like, whatever happened to the days when the Andy Griffith Show, where Andy would come home and take little Scooter or Ron Howard, and take him fishing. And they go fishing, and they go sit there, and they maybe listen to a baseball game, and he'd talk about this, and he'd just have his cane and just this basic fishing rod. Whatever happened to that America? Whatever happened to the America of grandma in the kitchen, sitting there making an apple pie? Whatever happened? And they make this argument, they put this out there, and they say this because they're trying to set up, they're pointing out that America doesn't exist, and then they basically say, but it's because of what we want you to believe caused that. Oh, it was gay marriage that abortion did that. Healthcare for all got rid of Mayberry. Healthcare for all killed off your American dream. No. None of that killed the American dream. Wealth worship is what killed the American dream. Plain and simple. Wealth worship killed the American dream. Somewhere, basically starting in the 80s, all of a sudden the idea of going to the old fishing hole was no longer an acceptable idea. No longer could you go down the fishing. Well, first of all, you couldn't go down there with that inferior fishing rod. No. You had to go on out and you had to go buy that $300 fishing rod because that was the one that you could brag and look at all my friends and look at them. Oh, I got the really good one. Even though the other one worked just fine, caught fish like a pro. Now you had to have that super duper one, which you really couldn't afford, but you put on credit. And then all of a sudden you couldn't just use a hook with a worm. Oh no, God no. You have to go down there and you got to go get one of those super duper tackle boxes and you got to go out in there and get all the lures and all that stuff. And then wait. You want to just go fishing down at the creek? No. Nowadays, what you do is you go on one of these fly-in excursions that even though you really can't afford it, you find a way to put it on a credit card and you fly in and you do that because that's your building memory. So you fly into freaking middle of nowhere Canada to some five-star resort so you can act like you're a big wheeler dealer. Because going down with your old fishing rod and getting some worms and doing the fishing, that didn't matter anymore. You couldn't do that. You couldn't even wear those clothes. For God's sakes, those clothes, oh, man, you look horrible. You look like a hick. You got to dress nice. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. You got to look good. You can't be just doing that. And by God, you want to listen to the Twins game on the radio? Oh, my God. No. You don't. We're not going to do that. We're going to go to the game, and we're going to go get the $250 seats where they have the waiters that come serve you the sandwiches all overpriced and all that stuff. That is what happened to the American dream. It wasn't killed by gay marriage or abortion or unified health care for all. It was killed because of wealth worship, keeping up with the Joneses. No longer could you have that. Grandma's kitchen, my God, what was your grandma's kitchen like? Mine was like a 200 square foot at best, small little thing with really crappy linoleum floor and crappy wood cabinets and not hardly any room to move at all in there. You know, they had the linoleum countertops and all that. Oh, none of that. First of all, before we even get to the pie, let's just go through that. No one in their right mind would take a kitchen like that today. No. You have to have a 1,200 square foot monstrosity that's built for a catering business, for God's sakes. You have to have that center island. You got to have that Cambria countertop. You got to have the coolest and designer cabinets. You have to have all the cool gear. You have to have one of those hands-free faucets. You have to have all the belt. You have to have three ovens for some damn reason. Three freaking ovens for some damn reason. You have to have a grilling spot, and you have to have a mudroom and a full-size pantry. You can't do things like grandma used to do. You have to have the top of the line things. You got to have enough counter space for all the gadgets that you have out there. You got a fondue pot, and sure, you've never used it, but you bought it, and you need a place to put it. So you got to have the counter space so you can put it out there, so that in case you ever do want to have a fondue, that's great. And the best part of all is that you'll never even use the thing because most of the meals you have are DoorDash or Uber Eats or whatever the damn thing is. You assemble some food there. Maybe you pour a bowl of cereal or you might make a PB&J, but you don't really cook in that kitchen. It's for show. And the pie? Oh, my God. You want to just... Grandma would go out to the tree in the back freaking yard and pick apples, take them inside, clean them, cook them up. Now, oh, my God, I've got to have the Honeycrisp Jazz Pink Lady imported. These apples are genetically made perfect for apple pie. They only cost $10 a pound. And you go through that, and God, why don't you just do a regular crust? Oh, no. You got to go get that expensive crust. The $10, you got to go to Lund's Barley's, a grocery store that's got carpeting. And you got to go through one of those grocery stores and you got to go in there and you got to go get that phyllo dough. You got to get that one that's $10 for that crust. And that's the apple pie you got to make, cuz you can't make just a crap apple pie. You got to make a pie that is ready for that social media account. You got to have Instagram ready. You got to have Facebook ready. You got to have Twitter ready. You can't just do that with regular grandma's kitchen. No. You've got to be doing that in a kitchen that makes everyone go, ooh, ah. Wealth worshiping. Plain. Simple. Wealth worshiping has killed America. The age of greed has killed America. The American dream has died. because a handful of jackasses have convinced a lot of poor white America that, you know what? Go spend, even though you can't afford it, because you're a loser if you don't. You're a loser if you don't. And keep spending and keep buying and keep doing this and make yourself more and more in debt, and your wages aren't going to keep up, and we're going to make you downgrade your house. You're going to end up losing your job, and then you get hired for basically the same exact job, only get paid $25,000 less a year, and you really can't afford your kid to go to college, and you really can't afford to go on a vacation, and you sure don't have anything in retirement. But hey, you're at least keeping up with the Joneses. You got a TV you really can't afford. And you can make that racist comment and someone will call it nuanced difference. You can rail against the gay couple and you can someone would call that just a difference of opinion. Inequity. I guarantee you this today, that if Martin Luther King was around today, he'd be aghast at the level of inequity and how much worse it's gotten in this day and age. And it's gotten this bad because a handful of very wealthy people are keeping the rest of us down. And that really is the reality of it. That is really the reality of it. Whether or not we'll ever be able to fix that, I don't know. But I do know right now, until white America realizes they're getting screwed just as bad as everyone else is, by the wealthy, the ultra wealthy, the uber wealthy, the guys up in space on their $100 stacks, until they realize they're screwing them over. And until we fix this wealth discrepancy in this planet, we're screwed. We are screwed. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
To celebrate AM 950 being on air for 15 years, our Blue State Ball is going to be less formal and more of a fun bash with beer. It takes place Sunday, February 23rd at Bauhaus Brew Labs with our headliner, Tom Hartman. VIP is at noon with doors for general admission open at 1. All tickets include a signed copy of Tom Hartman's newest book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting. That's the less formal and even more fun Blue State Ball on Sunday, February 23rd at Bauhaus Brew Labs in Minneapolis. The ball will sell out, so order your tickets now at am950radio.com.
Dad, you're going to force me to read this opening, aren't you?
Don't make me start posting on TikTok.
My dad is a double threat, both radio and TV, Matt McNeil.
I was on C-SPAN.
Well, my dad's style is in question, Toyota's isn't. After I get my license, I'd love to be driving a sleek RAV4 hybrid, a Camry hybrid, or a Prius. They're always in style.
Rudy Luther Toyota has an incredible selection of great vehicles, many with a hybrid version. See for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Frank Brown, owner of the only minority-owned union print shop in Minnesota.
Do you work with political campaigns?
Yes, we have years of experience helping campaigns.
Do you help with design?
Yes, our employees have over 100 years of industry experience and are the best at what they do.
So you print anything a political campaign might need?
Yes, we print everything. Work with a printer for your political campaign that shares your values. Minuteman Press Uptown. Learn more at mpuptown.com. Minuteman Press Uptown. We print everything.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. It's wealth worshiping. I mean, I had a front row seat for it because I went to a diner in the Reagan 80s, for God's sakes. I will never forget. It was my junior year at Edina. I will never forget spring break that year. Because now, once again, you're at Edina at this point. There was an insane amount of wealth, and there still is an insane amount of wealth over there. And I remember, I mean, that was the first place I ever went. I lived in rural Georgia for a few years, and, you know, spring break, some people would go down a local lake or some might go down to the coast, but that was about it. The idea of flying places was truly something that is, you know, upper class. I mean, as much as in Edina it was kind of something that a lot of people did, it still was upper class. I mean, you didn't in the 80s fly places. You know, most people still drove the family truckster. You know, the idea of people that, I mean, I remember when people would they'd fly down to Florida and then, oh, they'd say, oh, well, yeah, Florida. I'm going to Cancun. I'll never forget my junior year, the first person I ever saw on a spring break who went to Europe. They went to Europe. Now, not some sort of long trip. It was just basically a week stay. Now, as an adult now, I'm like, dear God, yeah, you flew out on like a Saturday, so you didn't really get there till Sunday. And then you had to get to, they went skiing. And so you have to get up to the resort and get all the sun in. So it's really Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, you're paying a lot of money just to basically go skiing for 5 days in the Alps. And the reality was that this family did this, just so they could tell people they did. Because they could have gone skiing out in Colorado. How dare you insist we can go to the domestic ski hills? No, they went there just so they could brag about it. And how did I know? They flew in on Saturday, right? This guy was like a senior executive. I thought he was at IBM. The dad was a senior executive. I thought he was at IBM. Got their staff in on a Sunday. Their media staff that would put together their periodicals and media kits and stuff like that. Or their press releases or their stock market stuff. Brought those guys in. They developed all their film. And they made a commemorative book that she brought to school on the Monday. This girl brought this book to school on Monday to show everyone the photos of her family trip to Switzerland over spring break. The entire point of it was just to brag. And they literally dragged people in the day and age before you could do this on a cell phone or on a line. They brought people in, gave them their undeveloped film, told them to develop film, make a nice little presentation, and that's what they did. Just so they could brag. I remember I think it was the next year, my senior year at Edina. I remember it was like four or five people were going over Europe because all of a sudden they had to compete. The Keeping Up with the Joneses crap. We had shows like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous just so that we could sit there and, oh God, wouldn't it be great to have a boat that big? No, seriously, dude. No, it wouldn't. Do you know how much, first of all, your slip cost is going to be on something like that? It's going to cost you a ton of money to park the damn thing, let alone put gas in it to go anywhere. That's going to cost you a ton of money. And then you're going to have a crew. No, it looks nice. It looks fancy. And they wanted you to start, oh, isn't that the greatest? All of a sudden, loading your family in the car and driving to South Dakota to go look at presidents carved into a mountain, that wasn't good enough anymore. Now all of a sudden you had to go to freaking Easter Island. And you got to go see those guys. You had to go to the pyramids of Giza. That is the worst thing that has ever happened to us, is that we sat down and we looked at a nice meal. And it wasn't good enough.
Well, it's not a burger from this burger place, or it's not filet mignon.
Well, what is it?
It's just pork chop.
Is it a good pork chop?
Well, yeah.
Great. Have a pork chop. Enjoy. Is it a good salad for my vegan friends? Is it a good salad? Enjoy. Bon appetit. You didn't get happy with the car that just got you from point A to point B that was reliable. It had to be flashy. It had to be all these things. Couldn't just have the regular TV. You had to have the big wall size. And most people, let's face it, most people can't afford to live like that, but yet they still do, because another great element of America is we produce a lot of debt. And as a matter of fact, we actually have ads out there saying, do you have so much debt you can't keep it under control? Well, go get another credit card and consolidate your debt, and you're going to be just fine. Wealth worship. You can go down to the creek with your kid, put a worm on a hook, catch a fish. Well, not now. But when fishing season opens up, you can still do that. Have you ever seen anyone post a picture of them fishing on the side of Lake Minnetonka or Lake Calhoun or Lake Harriet? No. It's a picture of them out in some boat out in the ocean or some fly in northern Canada. Well, is the fishing, you know, I've had great fishing days around the metro area. Catching a fish is catching a fish. We used to enjoy the moment. Used to enjoy grandma's pie. It used to be nice and great. And you made this off the apples in the backyard. Now all of a sudden it's that's not Facebook ready. That's not Instagram ready. I can't brag about that. You can't? You can't brag about pulling apples off the tree in your backyard and making a pie right there? That's the problem we have. So ask yourself, do you really need to? Why? Why are you worshiping this? Why do you need to have the extras that really don't add anything to your life outside of debt? If we ever are going to get back to the America that was good, the good old days, the nice America, well, we need to get over the fact that wealth worship is only ruining us and get back to a point where we were just happy with what we had. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we come on back, Democrat of the Day, Senator Susan Kent will join us. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
Are you in need of legal advice or information? The Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations have a long history of assisting people with legal needs, finding solutions, and connect with the right attorney. Now their services are combined into a new and enhanced program, the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service. Minnesota Lawyer Referral proudly carries the seal of recognition from the American Bar Association. Those guidelines ensure that you're connecting with a vetted, qualified attorney. Professional referral counselors help you reduce the stress of finding an attorney. They can help you narrow down your legal needs and connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in a wide variety of areas, including civil litigation, debt collection remedies, landlord-tenant disputes, and more. Whether you're an individual or a small or large business, Minnesota Lawyer Referral can help. For all your legal needs, reach out to the newly merged and expanded Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service at 612-752-6699 or mnlawyerreferral.org.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Indeed, Hazel's Northeast, fantastic restaurant. If you get a chance to go out there for breakfast, very tasty. Highly recommend it. Try it this week. 29th and Johnson, Northeast Minneapolis. The eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week is Hazel's Northeast. 952-946-6205. Our Democrat of the day goes from Senate District 53, which is basically the east side, Woodbury, south of 94, and a little bit on the west side of 694 over there, but it really most of it is on the east side of 694, the southeast metro. Senator Susan Kent, who has been there since 2012 in the Minnesota Senate. said she's kind enough to join us today to talk about her campaign and the work she's been doing in the Senate. Senator, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Well, good to talk to you, Matt. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. It's, it is Martin Luther King Day. Obviously, yep. it's a very important day, a day for us to remember the striving for, you know, equity that we should be looking for here. Do you have any thoughts about MLK Day?
Well, yeah, it is such an important day and such an important to think back about his life and his legacy, but then also to think about what it means for us today in so many different ways. I actually just tweeted out recently something that I had read in the New York Times from Charles Blow, which I really recommend to everybody, mm-hmm. Because we tend to think about, you know, the optimistic Dr. King, I Have a Dream, and this is sort of Charles Blow's story too, but he says, you know, he reminds us that it's not just about appealing to America's better angels, but also about ruthlessly calling out its persistent demons.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know, we have a lot of work to do in this country, and this is a day to remember that and recommit to that.
Yeah, I was. I posted earlier about this, that he was out in California and did a speech in the early 60s about that. He said, you know, you can't ignore the inequity we have, and that if you ignore that, you can't solve problems unless you acknowledge them. And that was, I think, his big thing. And I think that's what made a lot of people that were uncomfortable with what Martin Luther King had to say was the fact that he pointedly could cut through the fog and point out just very clearly the inequity that existed in America, and really, if you're, you know, moving forward, the inequity that exists today, off his own same words from back then.
That's right, and you know, and I was a very little girl when he was assassinated, and it is amazing to me, you know, that we are still struggling with these conversations and still having to have, you know, make these same points and get people to realize that unless we are dealing with these inequities and this injustice that exists for too many of our fellow Americans, you know, we still have a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen. The Senator, I want to ask you something just in regards to just how you do work here, because you are the assistant minority leader. When you're a senator, I mean, obviously you're concerned about District 53. You also have larger bills. You're on numerous committees and stuff. But I imagine, I mean, how much extra work does that give you when you're something like the assistant minority leader?
It does, you know, but it's wonderful to be able to represent my colleagues and to be in that position to be able to listen to them and to bring their great ideas and passion into the discussion and into the priorities, and to represent our caucus, you know, at different speaking engagements and, you know, in the work that we're doing as a caucus. So it's been really great. And the way we do it in the Senate is our leadership is sort of determined based on the geography we represent. So Senator Bach represents Greater Minnesota, and Senator Jeff Hayden is Minneapolis and St. Paul, and then I represent the suburbs, and Carolyn Lane is our freshman representative. And, you know, having the opportunity, because I think things, as we know, and people keep talking about, you know, things are really changing in the suburbs. And, you know, the suburban members of our caucus now make up over 50% of the caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real change, you know. And like when I got reelected to my second term in 2016, that was the first time since 2000 that this seat hadn't flipped. So, you know, we're mm-hmm. we're really aware that, you know, it's been hard for a lot of suburban members to build that experience and that knowledge, you know, so that we can most effectively represent our communities. And I'm real excited about where we are now.
I want to bring you up because you truly are kind of the ideal candidate to present to help out the suburban seats. We are going to have a lot of suburban seats that are Republican right now that are going to be up for grabs and hopefully flipping to the Democrats like we had on the House seats back in 2018. You represent a district. I mean, Woodbury for many years was a little more conservative. It is becoming, you know, more Democratic. Democrat. Like you said, you've been there now. You've had two terms there. You're looking at a district. The suburbs are changing. Trump is not exactly popular in these suburbs. Do you feel as if there's a good path when you not just look at your district, but from the knowledge you've gotten from your seat, that we can see the DFL pick up these extra seats around the suburban ring and swing the Senate back to the Democrats?
Well, I'll answer that in a couple of ways. First of all, I have no greater commitment right now than to flipping the majority in the Minnesota Senate. We had the opportunity to do some really great things last session with Governor Walz and his agenda of One Minnesota, and obviously with the House under a DFL majority and the work of Speaker Hortman. But the obstruction from Senate Republicans was kind of breathtaking to sit there in the front row and watch it. But when you think about the suburbs, yes, there are still opportunities to do pickups there, but we need to make sure that we're representing the entire state. And we've got some great candidates all around the state. I think there's a lot of time between now and November, but I think this could be a good year, but we all have to work really hard. Everybody has to show up and volunteer and vote.
Well, and you bring that up, too. I mean, because obviously, there are the suburban seats that we can pick up here. I think one of the big keys the DFL learned in 2018 was going into Republican districts that had not had DFLers knocking on doors and putting up a challenge. Not only did we flip a lot of seats, but you also, in the way of elections go, you forced Republicans to have to go spend money in districts they never anticipated having to spend money in. And when you start doing that, that's when you start seeing big swings. And I think that is the key, once again, is getting the DFLers, like I said, not only into, friendly territory, Hopkins, St. Louis Park, stuff like that, but getting into the more Republican suburbs, getting out into the Republican rural areas, out into the western, southeastern part of the state, southwestern part of the state, the northern part of the state. Getting them out there, I think that is how you get those seats flipped on a large scale, is because the Republicans really do not have a game plan to defend statewide.
I agree with you completely, and we definitely do. And I think, we have, like I said, a lot of work to do to get there, but we have all the fundamentals in place to make it be really, really successful in November so that we can do the things we want to do. I mean, when we look at making sure that everybody has access to affordable health care, good heavens, we're still talking about insulin.
Yes.
Which, it just blows the mind that this is even still a conversation. Our schools at all levels of education, from early learning to lifelong learning, all of our infrastructure, whether it's broadband across Minnesota, or our water infrastructure, and certainly transportation, which I've been fighting for since I got elected. These are just the basic things that we know make Minnesotans succeed and well and thriving, and that's what we need to keep fighting for.
Senator Susan Kent's joining us, Democrat of the day today. Let's talk about last session. Let's get a success story. What's one thing that you were able to work on that got through here that you feel definitely is going to help out not only your district, but also Minnesotans as a whole?
Well, one thing that I really worked on too hard, if you consider, but it's so fundamental, and that was the election security funding.
Yes.
That, the Minnesota Senate was the last body in the entire country to make sure we had access to that funding, which never should have been turned into some sort of political partisan football. But we got that done, and I actually met with Secretary of State Steve Simon not that long ago, and, they're doing the work. And so that was something that, I banged on that for a long time, and unfortunately it went to the bitter end of session, which meant it took that much longer to get that money actually making a difference in protecting our elections, and we all know how important that is. And the other thing I will point out is, and it did not get a hearing in the Senate, I've carried this bill now for almost 4 years. It's the paid family and medical leave bill, which will make such a difference for so many Minnesotans, and it was blocked in the Senate. But, in working with Representative Lori Halverson and Chair of the Commerce Committee in the House, they did a great job with that bill, made a lot of progress on it. And so hopefully we're setting it up to succeed much sooner rather than later.
Well, what is the game plan looking for you? I mean, just yourself. I'm not looking at the caucus per se, but here you are. You're in an election year here. You want to hold that seat for a third term, which I think would be a fantastic thing. When you're looking at your district here, what do you want to deliver to 53, and what do you want to work on as a whole in 2020?
You know, some of these suburban districts, and as I've traveled around the state, this can be very different in different communities. I mean, we have, some bonding projects here and there, and I've been able to do some things over time. But, it is different in these suburban districts where we just don't have the same kind of bonding asks that you might have in some rural communities, for example, or in communities where you have big higher ed institutions, which we don't out here. But, what I hear from my constituents, and this is across the spectrum of, political ideology, it's what everybody wants. Good schools, mm-hmm. safe communities, roads that work and help everybody get to work and get customers to their businesses. Healthcare is a huge one. Making sure that our kids have good opportunities after high school, whether it's, career and technical, or higher ed through a 4-year college, it is the basics. And my community is one that knows that when Minnesota is doing well, we're doing pretty well. And we just need to make sure that people understand that we're being thoughtful stewards of these resources and that we're building them for a brighter Minnesota.
You have got a few communities in here, but Woodbury is one of them. I actually spent a lot of time out in Woodbury the last 2 years because my son played baseball and we were out in that area. A lot of the suburbs, I think, can learn from your district. I have been so impressed. I mean, it is not easy. As you talk about roads and schools, you're developing. This is an area that, I think to a point was underdeveloped for a while, but they have taken on the development of the southeastern areas in these communities, and they're doing a great job. And I understand that there's a lot of city committees and the mayors and stuff like that that are part of this, but your district is doing it right. And I think that there's a lot of people that can look at your district, especially in the suburban ring, and say, okay, how are they doing the growth as competently as you guys are? Because that's exactly how I'd say it. You guys are just doing a great job anticipating, meeting the needs, and then looking in the future. And I think there's a lot of communities that are having trouble with that.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I am so, I can, now that I am in this role where I get to work closely with our community and county leaders, I get to watch this up close and personal and see it. We had the opportunity just last week to do a grand opening for this public safety training center that's a joint venture between Cottage Grove and Woodbury. It's actually in Cottage Grove, just on the other side of the line, but we're all one big happy community out here. And it's those partnerships. So it's the partnerships between the two cities, and there was a state bonding commitment into that as well. If you were out here for some of the sports, you might have been at the sports center there by East Ridge High School.
Yes.
And everybody looks at that and thinks, that's some big blown-out high school. Well, it is a very nice, good high school, East Ridge is. But it's also a partnership with the city, and a lot of those fields are run by the city and Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. And a local community organization, arts organization, partners with part of the theater infrastructure there. So it's just what you said. It's very competent. It's very well thought out and planned. It's not crazy high tax or anything like that. They're very responsible in making sure that these are smart investments, but it is, it's very well done. And I'll also say something that's caught, some attention recently is Woodbury had to recently announce some plans to do some water filtration, which has to do with the PFAS situation out here in the East Metro. And again, they were on top of it. They brought in me and my House members, Representative Steve Sandel and Representative Chu Zhang, who also represent Woodbury, working with the DNR and the MPCA and the governor's office and 3M to, on a timely basis, get a solution in place so that when the high demand time for water comes around next summer, we don't have to skip a beat because they did it right. And it's, everybody's always surprised when they learn that Woodbury is now the 8th largest city in the state of Minnesota.
It is.
It is. And it's, it is just incredibly, I believe, well run and very well appreciated by the members of our community.
I'm not going to say any names. There are some communities, suburban communities I have been to, where the mentality is we are going to try to say small town and it just doesn't work. And Woodbury, I think that's one of the things I like about Woodbury is that you guys understand Minneapolis-St. Paul, the metro area is growing, which means opportunity. It means people looking for places to live. And there's two ways you can do this. You can do it haphazard where you end up having a lot of problems, a lot of fighting. You know, you talked about the like school fields and stuff like that, where there's entity here, entity here, entity here. No one works together. Or you can do it like your district has and Woodbury has, where they've gone on out there and they've worked together. And like I said, I have been out there. It is magnificent. Woodbury is a great town. And they've one of the things, like I said, it's great about that town is you can see it's geared for the future. And that I think that is the key is that they're ready for that growth that's going to happen and it's going to happen on their terms. And I think that's just wonderful to see.
Yep, it really is. I'm sitting here looking out my kitchen window at the trails and the parks that, you know, because that has been a huge part of the quality of life that has been a real commitment out here. And it's something that people just love, that you can get out and go for a walk with your kids or your dog and just feel like you've stepped away and not realize you're only 15 minutes away from downtown St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You just nailed it there. It's wonderful. I will say, my personal thing is, I hope that your career is long because I eventually want to see you as the Senate Majority Leader. So I want you to be, I want to see you go back for yet another term in the state Senate.
Well, you're very kind, Matt. Thank you for your well wishes.
I want everyone out there listening right now. Obviously, we have a lot of districts we have to look at here. But, I mean, obviously, Susan Kent, this is a Senate voice we cannot lose. So, SusanKentForSenate.com, SusanKentForSenate.com. Volunteer, donate if you can. I'll make links to all this up on the social media sites a little bit later on. And Senator Susan Kent, the Democrat of the day. Senator, thank you very much. All my best. Great work in the leadership. Great work in the Senate as a senator. And I look forward to another 4 years after this upcoming election.
Well, thank you so much. And I'll see you on Twitter.
I'll see you on Twitter. Senator Susan Kent, Democrat of the day. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Minnesota's appliance specialists are ready. We've competed and earned your business for over 70 years, and 2020 is going to be our best year ever. We're offering guaranteed savings on the world's top-rated appliances. We love helping you find just the right appliances and watching you smile as the savings add up. Then Warner Stellings delivery specialists make the hard work look easy with fast free delivery, basic installation, and free haulaway. Now through January 22nd, take advantage of 18 months interest-free financing. You'll love your new appliances and Warner Stellion.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, post-truth politics.
For as long as there have been politicians, there have been lying politicians.
But with so much fake news, truth has never been in such short supply.
So how do we combat such open hostility to the truth?
Post-truth politics, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Senator Susan Kent, gosh, she's fantastic. And hey, if you've not been to Woodbury lately, holy cow, is that Cottage Grove as well? That entire southeast corridor, they're developing it right. And if you are a city and you're kind of like, okay, how do we look at this and the growth? Go out there and ask them what they're doing because they're doing everything right out there. It really is a very cute town, and they're ready. You can see they're ready. they're ready for what the future here, and they haven't lost. It's not like they're you know tearing down everything and paving it over. They haven't lost the cute character of the community yet. You can see they're ready for what's coming down the road. So that's leadership, and that goes all the way up to not only Governor Walz, but of course says Senator Kent. So once again, help her out if you can as Democrat of the day. I wanted to get back to the story that was in the Star Tribune, the editorial here about farmers and has basically Trump annihilating their crops and their trade markets. Has that changed their mind? And once again, not a surprise. I mean, they went out of their way to try to find, it seemed to me they went out to try to find farmers who were more than willing to, give him the benefit of the doubt. At the same time, some Minnesota farmers have made it clear they don't vote on trade policy alone. Noah Hultgren, Nate's brother, I'm presuming that's Nate Hultgren, wants less government spending, opposes abortion as wary policies as a Medicare for all or eliminating college debt. For a lot of farmers, social issues outweigh the losses they've taken from the tariffs. Really? It's, if all of a sudden, if I was saying to myself, oh my God, are we going to be able to keep the farm? I don't know if I would say, okay, so some politician wants to make sure I, as well as everyone else, can get cheap health care. Is that really such a bad thing? They want to make sure that they get affordable college for my kids and my grandkids. Is that such a bad thing? And once again, as far as abortion, well, they don't have one. By God, there you go. No one's forcing one to have one, are they? I don't think they are. But once again, this is the way that what they are. They're social issues. They dislike, and let's face it, I mean, they're not a lot of people in communities. There's the unspoken things, and they'll say these things, but there's other issues which, they get validity for. They're ignorant policies, and I'm making an argument. You're getting your caboose handed to you because of Trump's policies for you to sit there and say, but isn't he great? You can polish that turd all day long, but the reality is it ain't going to shine. But you keep thinking it's you're Smeagol looking at the ring, for God's sakes. My precious. Funny point, though, about these guys, this Hultgren family and Blue Strand Prairie. Good job pointing this out. They seem to be a larger outfit. And so you can look up online and see how much money they've gotten from Trump and the federal government to basically buy off as many farmers as they can because they know they screwed things up so bad. And the family of four members have received near $120,000 for market facilitation programs, non-specified commodity crops. Market facilitation program for soybeans, they received a little less than $50,000. And the market facilitation program for corn is $3,800. So they've gotten themselves, the four of them together, about $165,000 in free government money from Trump to, pain and suffering. Now, most farmers have not gotten $165,000. These guys seem to have, which would probably mean why that they basically don't have a problem. Because, if I had someone who was willing to give me $165,000, I imagine I'd be a pretty big advocate for them as well, which is kind of the point that Blue Stem Prairie is bringing up. Star Tribune, you didn't just find some random farmers here. You found guys who basically are benefiting directly from Trump's government handouts, which, by the way, most farmers aren't getting $165,000. Most farmers are barely getting $1,000. And they're still hurting because that's not helping. So if you really want to be fair about your story, why don't you list how much money they've gotten from Trump before you basically let them gush over their favorite president ever? Really? Really? We're back tomorrow. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Till tomorrow. See ya.